We welcome you with love and acceptance to today's service, which is a long-standing tradition here at Mayflower Church known as Rally Day. We're not going to have a road rally, okay? But we wish and pray for your tranquility and peace in the Spirit of Christ as our beloved community gathers for worship. A special welcome is extended to all of our visitors today, including those who have come to enhance our musical presentation. As always, we welcome those of you who have gathered in person, as well as those who join online through the Ministry of Facebook live stream. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I am joined by our worship team, including production engineer Kim Finneson, music director Barb Fuller, accompanist Deanne McCormick, worship coordinator Lorraine Finneson, and acolyte Jerry Fuller. Our special musicians today are the members of the Mayflower Chancel Choir, who will be performing for the first time since May. In addition, we are pleased to have members of the musical group affectionately known as the Wacoustics, who have come to share with us today. And the members include Aaron Fuller, Ryan Fuller, Justin Stevens, and Barb Fuller. Another member is Jamie Keller, who will be joining them during the ice cream social after the worship service. And today's liturgist is Roger Kennedy, who comes now to make an announcement.
Thank you and good morning. Those of you who came in the rear entrance by the offices this morning passed a large brown box, wooden box with wheels. This box is the beginning of our service project that's going to support the South Lansing Ministries, which are right down the street from us. South Lansing Ministries mainly serve those who are in need in the 48910 and 48911 areas, but will provide food and personal needs to anyone who needs them and makes an appointment with the South Lansing Ministries. So what we are asking you to do is to keep this nice big box filled with articles, personal needs articles, shampoo, toothbrushes, toothpaste, deodorant, anything that people need, and of course, non-perishable foods. They will even accept frozen meats that come from stores, nothing from personal freezers. But we are going to be delivering to them every couple of weeks, hopefully. So we're going to ask you to just keep things in mind when you're out shopping. If it's a buy one, get one, and bring it here. You know, the dollar stores are always having sales for large quantities of things. So anything that you can bring with those items, we have signs on the big box. And hopefully you will keep that full, and we thank you very much. And we thank Roy Ketchison for building this lovely big box for us. Thanks.
But we are not a big box store. Well, we have invited you and our neighborhood in for an ice cream social today, which follows the worship service, with the Wacoustics performing several lively numbers. Bobsy Wobsy, the clown, will be gracing us with his presence, his humor, and his incredible balloon-making ability. And everyone is encouraged to come and be there. A couple of quick reminders concerning our worship service. We don't pass offering plates during the service because we don't want anyone to worship with an artificial sense of obligation. Your presence in this service is a wonderful gift to us. We will ask God to bless our voluntary offerings, which can be placed in the receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. We also honor God with the gifts of our time, talents, and treasure in a holy act of worship during the service. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, we use the words debts and debtors. Two special events will also occur in worship. We are welcoming new members into our fellowship, and we'll be honoring one of our former pastors who will also be rejoining Mayflower Church. In today's service, you will experience much of what we value here at Mayflower, plus a little more with a twist. Today's worship theme is How Many Times?, which focuses on Jesus' response to Peter concerning the potential limits that we all place on forgiveness. We will explore that theme in music, scripture, and message, beginning with our very special prelude entitled, and you may be familiar, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Have you ever thought of forgiveness as being a bridge over the troubled waters of relationships? Give a listen as we now begin our worship.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I'll dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Sail on, silver girl, sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how how they shine. Oh, if you need a friend, I'm sailing right behind, like a bridge over troubled water. I will.
Wow, I get to sing next to him every Sunday. Good morning again.
Good morning.
It may not be the weather we had hoped for, but weather won't dampen our spirits as we celebrate a rich tradition here at Mayflower called Rally Day. You've already heard a taste of what is a little different today, but it's all in the context of worship with a Mayflower twist. What doesn't change today is our commitment to gather, listen, think, and then reflect on what God might have in store for us. We thank those who have come to provide special music. We appreciate our visitors today. We are happy to have new members joining, and we especially thank all the Mayflower gang who have worked so hard to make this event happen, including the indulgence of lots of ice cream afterwards. We hope you enjoy every part of the service today, including the sermon. There's nothing wrong with the party spirit as we worship and fellowship together. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have looked forward to this day with great anticipation. We thank you for the freedom and opportunity we have to plan worship as we understand it, in our own way and with our rich traditions. In this day of celebration, we ask you to bless our worship as we reach out to our neighbors, accept new members, and enjoy a neighborhood party. As always, we want to honor you with a fresh look at old subjects like forgiveness. Help us all to understand that the way of forgiveness is the way of the road less traveled, the way to a happier life, the road to better relationships, and the way of Christ. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
In a few moments, I'm going to ask my friend to come forward, but before then, I want to say that on behalf of the entire Mayflower and Plymouth families, it is my privilege to welcome and honor a former minister who will be rejoining Mayflower along with several others today. Reverend Dave Banfield is well known to both congregations, having served as pastor here at Mayflower for several years, then serving several more years as the associate minister at the Plymouth Congregational Church. While every former minister has contributed to the life and ministry of the Mayflower Church, Dave Banfield is one who has held a special place in the hearts of all who worshiped and served under his leadership and with his example. Personally, it is a great privilege for me to call him a friend, as indeed he has been. Dave has filled this pulpit willingly and capably in my absence, has participated and shared inspirational eulogies in several memorial services alongside me in this sanctuary and at this pulpit, and has served as a consultant in the process of the combining of two congregations over the last 14 months. It has also been a privilege for our two spouses, Deanne and Nancy, to share in a friendship which included an overnight stay with the four of us a few months ago at the Banfield Resort on Lake George. At least that's what we thought it was. Dave and I share mutual interests, including automobiles. He has what I consider to be a dream car. It's a Mazda Miata. And we share similar ministerial philosophy and theological perspective. The only difference between us is the level of talent with his incredible fix-anything ability and his marvelous gift of music, some of which we will hear at the close of this service. It is indeed my privilege to present the following commendation to my friend and my colleague. Dave, would you come forward?
How about a handshake? Start it out. Okay. So in recognition of his faithful and compassionate service as pastor, friend, counselor, and chaplain to the Mayflower and Plymouth congregations, his support and guidance during times of transition, and his unwavering commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the members and friends of Mayflower Congregational Church confer the title of Pastor Emeritus upon Reverend Dave Banfield on this 7th day of September, 2023. And there's the plaque that we have prepared for you. And if you I read that, but if you want to put it so a camera can focus in a little bit there, turn it that way. And Dave, if you'd like to say a word or two, feel free.
Many of you are aware of what the evolution of my position from Plymouth to Mayflower, back to Plymouth, hospital chaplaincy in the last several years, bouncing back and forth to Arizona half a year at a time, and being pretty much disassociated and disconnected with the church. And I kind of scratch my head sometimes wondering what my so-called role in ministry means these days. So this is an honor. Thank you very much. To be connected and associated back with the church, I very much appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you.
with the voice of singing. Declare ye this, and let it be heard. Alleluia. Declare ye this.
God is always with us, and not just when everything seems clear and times seem good, but also when we struggle with questions of faith and have doubt. When we cry out to God, our prayers are heard. When the world cries out to God, we are part of God's answer, offering water in the desert, offering nourishment to those who are hungry, and bringing hope to the hopeless. Our gifts this morning are our answer to God's own goodness. In this holy act of worship, we now present the gifts of our time, talents, treasures, and our very selves to God and to others. Thanks be to God.
Praise Him above the heavenly host.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have come together today as we always do, but not simply out of routine or obligation. We have gathered in response to your call, voluntarily assembling ourselves in community with others, each with different backgrounds, perspectives, and life experiences. We are especially grateful for all the people who have helped make this day special. In all of what we enjoy today, help us never to see ourselves as an island, but as an interconnected and diverse network of Christ's beloved community around the world. As we've already noted, when we pray for the needs of suffering humanity, even as we ponder the deadly effects of creation itself, help us to know that we are often God's only answer, and the goodness of God depends upon the goodness of us. So we pray for those in peril today, including those who have been in the path of the storm called Lee. Be with our friends and neighbors in Canada who have been hit the hardest. And while we pray for all affected, we especially pray for the first responders who represent us in the efforts to save lives and mitigate impact. Give them safety and Godspeed. We have also heard today and this week of deadly floods in Libya with thousands tragically killed. With our complicated history of conflict with other countries, help us to view this tragedy like any other, with compassion and offers of assistance as the lives of ordinary, hardworking people and families have been hit with devastation and loss. We also remember the young men who are members of the MSU football team and their coach, Harlan Barnett, who have suffered through a difficult time. And we pray that you would be with each of them as they face the uncertain future of what now. Give them courage, and may they represent this community with honor and valor. We also have observed and remembered this week the many lives lost in 9/11 and the unfortunate tendencies to blame and to hate, often toward innocent victims. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to work and pray for a renewed vision of hope for a future of peace and a harmony among nations and for the peace of Jerusalem. Give us a resolve to make that happen, beginning with our efforts to forbear and forgive one another, God being our helper. Help us to see ourselves as global citizens, united in the mutual concerns of all humanity, all with aspirations for a life free from peril and pain, even as we now pray for those within our circle of love and care, including those upon our hearts and whose first names we mention aloud. And be with Greta and others as she recovers from her car accident and her surgery. Now, Lord, unite our hearts and give us mutual resolve to love and care as you did, praying as we have been taught like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In just a few moments, I will invite the membership candidates, and they really aren't candidates. They're already in, really, but nonetheless, to make it official, I'll invite them up in just a moment, and I will name them. But before I do, I'd like to share just a little bit about Mayflower, the tradition at Mayflower, and in the congregational way regarding membership. If I can find the right page. One more. The next part of our worship service is the most rewarding time in the life of a church. Those folks that will be in front of you have all been faithful members of Christ's Universal Church in other places. We are happy that God has led them to be part of the beloved community called Mayflower. Remember, membership in Christ's church is not exclusive, but inclusive. While it is important to maintain the integrity of each local church, participation in Christ's church does not exclude those who, for whatever reason, choose not to make their membership official. Let me also remind the congregation that membership is a covenant, not a contract. Membership does not mean that we become bill collectors or supervisors. Neither does it mean an obligation to participate in any particular ministry or position. Membership and participation in Christ's church is voluntary, as God calls us. We offer to each other mutual encouragement and prayerful support. We are thrilled to welcome those who have made the decision to officially join Mayflower today. Others who were not able to join today because of commitments of time or other commitments have a desire to do the same. So if you're in that category, we will have another opportunity in October. And if you've not seen me about that, I'll ask you to do so. Our temporary suggested date is October 22nd. We may refine that depending on people's schedule. So may God bless us now as we welcome and receive members with a mutual commitment with all to each other and all to God. So I'll ask Jim and Mike Zeski, Susan Cady, Dave Banfield, and Betty Briggs. I'll get it right. Up front, and they can stand right here.
Right here, face the congregation.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Kim. It's a pretty good-looking group up here, isn't it, folks? You have your bulletin insert, and this is a two-way street here, so take it. And all of you here today are part of the beloved community, so we welcome you to participate with us. And I have a question to ask all of them. Actually, I have 20 questions, and I want essay answers on my desk in about 10 minutes. That's not going to happen, and it doesn't need to happen. But I asked them, seeking membership in this church, do you accept the religion of love and service that Jesus taught and lived, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your relationships, also recognizing that we are all human? We make mistakes, and sometimes we need to be forgiven and then to offer forgiveness. Do you therefore covenant together with all the members and friends of Mayflower Church to prayerfully promote harmony, faithfulness, and unconditional love, accepting a share in its privileges and duties insofar as you are able, God being your helper? Those responding will say, that sounds wonderful. And now it's our response, and we take this just as seriously as what they have just done. So let's share our response together. We rejoice with you and joyfully receive you into membership and fellowship. We pledge our Christian love as you have promised us. We humbly pray to God that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever. Through Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now we'll share the church covenant, and I'll ask Ruth to come forward with the certificates ready to go. We share now our covenant together. repeated as a congregation with five new members. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians, and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up of the kingdom of God. So I'd like to congratulate them each with a handshake, Dave, Betty, Sue, Jim, and Mike. Got it. All right, and now the certificates, which will be given by Ruth Posh, our moderator, lay leader, either way. So if I ever come to your living rooms, I expect to see those in a plaque, gold-plated, up right on the wall. Yes, with a Bible on the coffee table, Dave says. All right, let's welcome them with a round of applause.
Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Most of us, if not all, want to live ordered and measured lives, for good reason. We calculate our commitments of time, money, and the investments we make in our work, our families, and our church. That is why it is so difficult to imagine the endless and infinite nature of forgiveness that Jesus assumes. It goes against our human nature and exceeds even our generous offer of seven times. How many times? Hear now these words. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe me.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave and had mercy on you as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the meditations of all of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I don't think they would have cut my pay if they didn't give a sermon this morning. But everyone told me to keep it short. Does that suggest that I'm usually long? I guess that depends on one's perspective. If I'm going to preach a short sermon, you might wonder why I chose one of the more difficult passages in all of Scripture. Did you notice any problems in the text? Well, let me begin by cutting to the chase. Forgiveness is hard. Why? Because of our human nature. Ask a child to apologize, to admit his or her wrongdoing, and you will discover the way in which human beings are wired, perhaps the way God has made us. When an argument happens with a sibling or playmate, you will almost always hear, "It's not fair." God has apparently wired us for justice rather than mercy. And I gave a lot of thought to this week. Why is that? Well, the only thing I can think of is that our sense of justice and fairness helps us to establish orderly families, communities, and societies where justice and fairness promote the well-being of all. It's a pretty good reason we're born with that sense of what's fair and what is right. That works just fine, though, until the well-being is disrupted by someone who doesn't want to play by the rules. Things were off to a pretty good start with the first biblical family until Cain decided to disrupt orderliness. And it has gone on ever since. This parable represents a disruption to our sense of fairness and justice. Now let me say something so you won't get this wrong. Before we assume otherwise, the king in this story, in my opinion, does not represent a loving God. We so often take the parables and put God as the king or the wealthy landowner or one in the agrarian economy of the day where the retainers and even the servants were all on the take. And the profit motive was as strong as it's ever been. But someone, the slave of a king under condemnation for an unpayable debt, begs for mercy and is forgiven. The king does not even require repayment, and it was a huge amount. And that sounds like an act of grace. Then we learn of the slave's behavior toward another slave, and again, all these people are in on the deal, who begs for forgiveness for a triflingly smaller amount, but whose plea for mercy is rejected. This makes a mockery of the earlier generous offer of forgiveness. The forgiven slave throws the debtor into prison. Subsequently, the king has no choice but then to exact his own satisfaction by pronouncing eternal judgment and torture upon the unforgiving slave. This does not sound like the gospel that is preached from this pulpit every week. This does not sound to me like God. I'm here to tell you that it is not the gospel and it is not God. Rather, this story is about a corrupt system where forgiveness and love are impossible. It makes the idea of forgiveness a sham. Our God does not forgive and at the same time kill whole cities of men, women, and children. Our God is not contradictory like us, a conflicted monster who is angry and merciful at the same time. Our God is not jealous, yet forgiving. And our Jesus does not advocating sending anyone into eternal torture after a first offense, let alone for any offense. A good example is given to us in other places in the gospel. Two disciples, Peter and Judas, both experienced the love of their friend and master, whose name was Jesus. Peter had to be forgiven over and over again. In his classic meltdown when questioned in the courtyard, when he was trying to physically distance himself from the gathering mob bent on crucifixion, he denied he had ever known Jesus. Three times, when he realized his failure and betrayal after those three denials and remembering his broken promise to his Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. Peter, even after his miserable failures, is known for his faithfulness. Conversely, when Judas betrayed Jesus, he went out and hanged himself. He has been branded the betrayer of Jesus for all time, although the scriptures do record his remorse in one of the two accounts of his death, both very different from each other. Perhaps it is not the judgment of God, but judgment we bring on ourselves that Matthew is hopefully talking about. Maybe Judas could not face himself or could not face the fact that he could be forgiven. It is this reality, I believe, that prevents many people, perhaps all of us from time to time, from forgiving others. We never think of ourselves as worthy of receiving forgiveness. And if that be the case, we transfer that unworthiness unto others. I am not exactly sure what Matthew had in mind with the way this parable ends, but I believe that there is no debt that God cannot repay. And in spite of an obscure reference to something otherwise, there is no sin that God cannot forgive or will not. Last week, in recounting an errant church member, Matthew suggests that person should be treated like a tax collector or a Gentile. Then we understood how Jesus treated tax collectors and Gentiles with compassion and love. As human beings, our innate tendency toward justice rather than mercy, we far too easily want to out the perceived offender. The same thing is in effect here. A king who wants to settle a score will cast a person out, order torture, and pronounce eternal judgment and damnation. A loving God, however, will offer unlimited forgiveness, which comes from a heart with unlimited love. At the very least, this parable teaches us that forgiveness has a reciprocal effect, and it is built into the universe, I believe. Now, from my perspective, I offer one asterisk. I do not place in the same category a violent or brutal act of violence as one which can easily be forgiven, and it may take a lifetime to forgive, if ever. I do not judge. But I know that most of our struggles with forgiveness are with people who have been our friends, lovers, siblings, parents, children, and sometimes fellow church members, God forbid. And sometimes the slightest insults or wrongs can turn into monsters that haunt us like the hound of heaven. In our best efforts, it may take time, and sometimes we have to start over. Sometimes we must forgive ourselves before we can forgive others. And believe it or not, there are times when we need to forgive God. If you are even remotely considering forgiving someone that has come to your mind right now, do it. You won't regret it. How many times? When it comes to forgiving, 7 times seems reasonable. maybe even more than some of the Jewish rabbis in their teaching taught, that even three was pretty good. It seems orderly and even magnanimous, doesn't it? It would seem to cover most situations, most of the time, if not all the time. However, measurements of math, calculations designed to quantify human behavior, and tidy formulas do not work for Jesus, and they do not work for us if we want healthy relationships, and if we want a life which is free from the debilitating forces of resentment and subsequent hatred, and if we want to be on the road less traveled, and I believe we do. The rather magnanimous offer of seven times will never mitigate corrupt systems and the darker tendencies of human nature. Jesus is not imploring Peter, nor does he implore us to increase the number of times we must forgive. Rather, he is telling us that the numbers game will never work. Scorekeeping doesn't represent grace. It doesn't come from the heart, and it is not forgiveness. If we truly believe that God forgives our sin, then we know that God is not keeping score with us. Quite bluntly, scorekeepers don't fit very well into the values of the kingdom. Forgiveness is the highest form of love. And like love, it is not legal. It is relational. When we forgive from the heart, we give our soul the flight of a free bird, free from the known burdens of an unforgiving spirit. And we let others, including God, then fight those battles for justice. We unleash the opportunity for the transformation of all of our relationships, including our relationship with God. How many times, we ask? Until we lose count. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Wow, I'd like to get to know that piano player just a little better. Folks, it's a blessing to have all of you here as part of the Beloved community this morning. It is a blessing to me, and I trust that you have been blessed. But the blessings are only beginning, folks. There's nothing wrong with considering a big bowl of ice cream with every imaginable topping on it a wonderful blessing. And today is one day I think my wife will just give me carte blanche with ice cream. All right, we have a couple more pieces of music. Go now in peace. Nobody's ever going to accuse the Congregationals of being the frozen chosen, folks. Doesn't work that way around here, where there's always a place for dignity and order and worship. But, you know, Barb has her two sons with her today, and they're performing music. One of them is here, one of them's getting ready in the back. And I asked him this morning, I said, has your mother had a little evolution from being a stiff shirt? And he said, oh my, yes. Way to go, Barb. Way to sing and dance. Well, we'll be singing and dancing our way into the fellowship hall, which is known as the Friendship Center. But I want you to sit down right now because we have one more piece of music done by none other than multi-talented Dave Banfield. And this is a piece that'll get you in the mood for an ice cream social. Enjoy.
I'd like to say quickly, when I first was asked to do this, my understanding was that this was a segue. We're here in worship, you're going to the ice cream social, and I was doing exit music. And Pastor Mark says this morning, no, they're going to sit there and wait. But with the toddling off to the ice cream social, I deliberately picked kind of a long, slow rag. I'm gonna be here a while. I would just like to say, feel free to leave whenever you want.
Thank you.
No, we're supposed to stay and listen to him because that's fun stuff, folks. And worship, even as we fellowship and break bread, or in this case, slurp ice cream together in the Friendship Center, is part of worship. Let's go do it. Greet one another and make your way.